This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday. But baby, I guess it's always a Tuesday or some day that ends in a Y. I have no idea. Patrick Harris here with you. That's Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go. Lass uns gehen.
Oof.
That means let's go in German. Because apparently I'm a Nazi now.
I know. I don't understand. Joe, I think you look great. Got a little Arizona tan on you.
I know I do. I know I'm hot. I do me hard.
I think you look fantastic.
Stop. Stop, all right?
I do. You look like Joseph Fisher III.
Look like a Nazi to Isaac Gropp. Boss Lady Kim, in the morning meeting, she goes, oh, you kind of got that little Top Gun thing going on. Then apparently later in the day...
She said that to me while she was definitely not drinking at the place that I work all day.
Okay. Well, if she backed
it up... She was not there all day.
If she backed up her original statement, that's fine. But I was under the assumption that she was also making some Nazi insinuations here. Listen, I've been watching a lot of Band of Brothers World War II stuff on Netflix. All right?
Amazing show.
Oh, it's
amazing show.
It's quarterly viewing for me and my household.
Really?
Yes.
You watch it that much?
Maybe not quarterly, but I get it in at least twice a year.
I had a conversation with a buddy today who was talking about Dunkirk. And I'm so sad that movie came out after my father passed, because he would have loved it. Absolutely loved that movie.
I got a scathing review on Dunkirk, actually, over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, someone said it was boring, and that I believe it was my friend's significant other fell asleep while watching.
There's nothing boring about people dying, okay? People are dying.
Help us! Yeah, I've turned into that, there's like these memes and videos of guys that fall asleep to... white noise, but it's just World War II noises. Oh, my leg! And that's basically me watching Band of Brothers. It's like, one moment, it's nothing's happening, and then the Ardennes forest is getting blown up in the Battle of the Bulge, and I'm sleeping like a baby.
It was interesting. Last night, me and my wonderful partner, we decided to, like, straight West Coast. Last night?
Is that like a sex move or something?
No. It's just the things involved with West Coast.
I gave her the straight West Coast.
You know, drank and smoked and straight West Coast. And,
gotcha.
You know, gotcha. We're getting after it, and we're lying in bed, and I was like, what do you want to watch? And she goes, let's watch Tropic Thunder.
Oh, what streaming service is that on?
I think it's on Paramount.
Oh.
Maybe Netflix?
One of the ones you gotta, Paramount Plus, I see here.
And so I threw it on. I obliged. My wife is smoking hot, so when she tells you to do something, you just kind of do it.
Gotta go.
And I put it on.
Whether the wife is not hot, you end up probably having to do it anyways, but I digress.
And so I put it on, and then it was like 5 minutes in, and I giggled, and I looked over, and she was passed out. And I was like, well, I could change this. you know what? I'm just going to keep watching it. And it was fantastic.
You get through the Tropic Thunder trailers.
Oh, that's where it starts. And that's the best part of the movie. Like, everything after that is downhill. But that,
Scorcher 6.
That was great. That was great. Five-time Academy Award winner, Kirk Lazarus. MTV Award winner, Best Kiss, Tobey Maguire. It's so good.
Satan's Alley.
It's so good.
That is one of the movies, like, I have this mental list of movies that I can't wait to show my son, and that's near the top right there.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody you're thinking about back home? Some lover? Somebody you like? Somebody that you just can't get out of your head.
I say
that's
we
my Downey. And then Al Pacino goes, yeah, Lance. And they're like, wait, did you just say Lance? He said, no, I said Nance. Nancy. We call her Nance.
I can't even say the things that Jack Black says to him after that.
And
air.
Then Jack Black is eating the bird because he thinks, like Ozzy Osbourne style, because he thinks the bird has got his blow in his bloodstream.
I'm also looking at this fantastic text on the Vancouver Forward text line. This combo reminds me of when I was a saucier down in San Antone.
What do you mean, you people?
Get some crab apples. Sauce up some of them greens there. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but I am. I'm not Robert Downey Jr. blackface.
You know,
I'm a Nazi. So.
My favorite thing about that whole movie, and I told the wife right before she passed out, and I'll share it with you guys. My favorite part about that whole movie is Robert Downey Jr. is nominated for an Oscar for that movie, Best Supporting Actor.
He got an Oscar.
He was an Oscar nominee for that movie.
Oh, let's come on. The Academy, they're probably like, whatever.
Right, right.
Wait, black people are mad about this? Whatever, we don't care.
And what's absolutely hilarious
is Moonlight win in a few years.
There's the five nominees, right? And it's got the pictures of all of them sitting in their seat. And the Oscar goes to, and that year the Oscar goes to Heath Ledger, The Dark Knight. And Heath is dead.
Yeah.
And if you look at
What?
Well, Heath died. It's not breaking news.
Wait, huh?
Spoiler alert.
Diddy did what?
Spoiler alert. Probably at Diddy parties. And when you watch that, you know, and you see everyone's reaction, there is a brief moment where you can see Downey, and it says, and the Oscar goes to Heath Ledger, The Dark Knight. And if you look at Robert Downey Jr., he turns his head and rolls his eyes so hard because he's like, of course they gave it to the dead guy.
I should have won that. That's awesome. I went blackface. I should have won that.
Yeah, does he really think he had a shot at that?
I think he's amazing in it. I think.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's a top Downey performance in my
opinion.
But is
that an Oscar performance? I don't know.
Downey's a good actor. It might be. It might be Oscar worthy.
How many Oscars did he win for Iron Man?
Those aren't Oscar movies, though.
But that's, I don't feel like this is an Oscar movie either, I guess is kind of what I'm getting at.
Best Picture, no, but I don't know.
Maybe like best soundtrack or like editing or something. I don't know.
Trust me, I think they're like, listen, we'll nominate him, but there's no way
we're giving him the award, right?
We're making sure we're all in lockstep on this, right?
I'll tell you what, though, if we were giving out Oscars for
granted, you're not giving the Oscar to Robert Downey Jr. You're giving it to Kirk Lazarus. Yeah, I mean,
I think
he's just a dude playing a dude disguised by another dude.
I think the lore of Kurt Lazarus in that movie, Kirk, or is it Kurt? He's Australian.
I think it's Kirk Lazarus.
How about them dangos? The best part about it
don't even joke about that.
I think the lore of Lazarus is that he won 5 Oscars in 4 movies.
Yeah,
it's like what I say about Antonio Cromartie. He's got 11 kids with 12 different moms.
How does that happen? We don't know.
We don't know, but that's the facts. Yeah. Them's the facts.
The math is not mathing. How about we just make this a 2-hour Tropic Thunder? Oh, remember this scene? Oh, what about that scene? I think that'd be that might just be a good enough show for tonight.
Matthew McConaughey, I got the TiVo. I got the TiVo.
The story behind Tom Cruise getting that role also.
Well, he wanted the Ben Stiller role.
Yeah.
He auditioned for the Ben Stiller role.
Well, I think then he came back to Ben Stiller and was like, hey, can I play like a really fat, like,
I got an idea for a character
with really fat fingers.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I want to dance. Like, he's got like a clip of the interview somewhere of him talking about it. And it's like, you know, Tom Cruise is psychotic in a sense, but also the dude knows
how to make great movies.
Dude knows how to make some movies. How to play roles. That's for sure.
Oh, Khalid Doakley. Well, we do have an actual baseball show for you today. Actually, it's not that. It's wall-to-wall Pac-12 coverage for the next 2 hours. I'm joking. That would be terrible. We do have a baseball show for you tonight. There's a lot to get to. I can't believe we're not going to lead off with the first man ever in the 50-50 club. There's local news. There's DFA of closers for teams that definitely need closers. Boy, we got a lot to get to today. But before we come back, stop me if you've heard this before. Can Portland get a baseball team?
Oh, boy. We're doing this again, huh?
We're doing this again. This is the Hot Corner. Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
716 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Although I kind of wish we were still down on the poop-filled Willamette.
I know why, my friend. It's actually the same thing Ludwig, sales extraordinaire Kurt Ludwig.
Not a guy that was at my place of work drinking all day.
No.
He was not there.
Listen, I had my suspicions when he got back to the office, you know.
There's a little, what do the kids say, turnt?
Yeah, it reminded me of when I showed up to my house high as S on the weed, and I would try and play it cool.
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah, and like wearing sunglasses inside.
Do you think if we were still right next to the poop-filled Willamette, we'd get free parking?
You mean like
Like parking lot?
Yeah.
Like, if this hypothetical situation were to happen?
Yeah. Do you think we'd get free parking? Because I'll walk the 10 blocks for free parking.
We would, but they would definitely be selling the rest of that parking lot during game day.
We just have a tag, and then everybody else sells it.
100%.
We have to double park each other, and I have to text you. You're in left field. I'm in right. It's like, Joe, I'm leaving early. And it's like, well, you can't because I'm behind you.
That would be...
And I'm staying till the end, and you're like, oh, crap.
That would be a terrible situation. Like, you get out after the game and go back to the parking lot, and someone's boxed you in.
Yeah.
Because
Joe got blacked out and decided to take the Max home. He was like, I don't want to drive. I'm going to take the Max home.
It was a big win.
So many abandoned cars.
Beat the Pirates 3-2 today. It's June 17th. Let's do this.
I used to live in that part of town. I love this idea.
Well, you know, I actually, you know, this studio here under the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge is a vastly better place.
Yeah. Can we just take this building and move it back over there?
But I liked the location a lot more.
Yes, I will. The building location, like where it was set, that setting, yes.
And we were in the back, so we had the best view of the river.
The walking trails, the running trails.
The Esplanade, as some might call it.
Those had some good views, if you know what I mean.
there was a lot of talent walking down.
Indeed,
sometimes
there was.
Jogging down.
Indeed,
and
there
jogging
was.
Makes things move.
I can't imagine
drift.
What it was like trying to host shows in that building, because you know I produce, so I could easily, you know, press my buttons, then easily just
press your buttons.
Huh? Funny story.
My buttons were pressed in a good way.
Funny story. I became the one simply because my back was to the window.
Ah,
because if I was the two, I probably was gonna like Tom Brady it and be terrible.
Well, and you know, the professional that
there was
is,
no Greg Olson going on down there.
The professional that is one Voldemort, Mike Lynch. Of course, he wouldn't get distracted by that.
No, never.
No,
no. The rich hotties running by. No way.
Now, Patrick, why are we talking about Southwest Waterfront?
Well, we bring this up because Zedel Yards are right down the street in the South Waterfront that has one entrance and one exit, has been potentially purchased by the Portland Diamond Project, and that could be the site of a future Portland Major League Baseball team. And I will tell you what.
They have signed their letter of intent.
They did the hats. They had the hats. There was, you know, Red Tail.
Terminal 2.
And Zedel Yards. And they reached for the red. They reached for the Red Tail. And then at the last second grabbed that one. We're going to sit here and laugh about this, but there was, Craig Cheek was on with the Primetime Boys today from 4 to 4:15, so you can go podcast that wherever you get your podcast, and he was actually really great, and kudos to Isaac and Jason for, you know, they can laugh and joke around and have the prime time and the club hour, but when it comes to real stuff, I thought they asked him very, very great questions, and if you go back and listen to it, they're all in on it. They're all in on this. They're trying to get ahead of Salt Lake City. They're trying to look ahead and line their project up with Major League Baseball. And what Craig Cheek said down there is it sounds like they're doing the best they can to make this happen. And I think a stadium on the water, like, we are a city of bridges. There are two rivers that run through this town. And a city of bridges everywhere. They could be something fun like an Oracle in San Francisco or a PNC in Pittsburgh that lets you enjoy the city for what it is.
Yeah, I would say that out of all of the options, the places that have been thrown around, realistic options, I would say, because I feel like the Lloyd Center was kind of one of those lofty dream situations that there was just way too much red tape, way too many loopholes and things to get past to make that actually a viable option. The Portland Public School building, same thing.
I kind of liked that only because mass transportation was already there.
Again, as far as like location goes, those are both great ones as well. It's just a matter of like when we heard those, we're like, that's going to be tough.
They got max stops, though, down on the waterfront. Here
I know
too.
There was a snowstorm situation during COVID, and I got done producing Primetime, and there was, I knew I had to leave my car because I had the pickup truck, and the truck wasn't going to make it home.
Yeesh.
And a good friend of mine.
You don't trust the Ranger like that?
Not in that situation. A good friend of mine, Isache, drove me down the road to the Tillicum Crossing, and I got on a max that got me home.
Really smart way to go, buddy.
And, I mean, I live in Vancouver now, but if I still lived where I did in North Portland, I can get on the max, and 10 stops later, I'm outside of the Moda Center. Now, if I ride that a little more, maybe change one, I could be in front of the baseball stadium, and I love that. The Tillicum Crossing. Mm-hmm. The only thing is if you are driving, that is a disaster down there.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that whole neighborhood on, like, the other side of I-5, like, where you get to the Ross Island, I mean, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, down there's room to work with for parking and everything, but as far as, like, side streets and getting out of that area,
there's only one way out.
It's like, yeah, going up McAdam.
Yep.
And going either, you know, I-5 north over Markham Bridge. Or looping back around and hitting Ross Island or going I-5 South. So there's ways to like get out of there, but there's a really only one road to get out of there. There's also the road that leads past OHSU into downtown. But
again, I don't know if going in, nobody lives in downtown and then is going to drive to that stadium.
Very true.
So it's like you might get out early, but you're going to be downtown and you still got to find a massive way to find somewhere else out.
One of the things that has been like the nice part about this announcement is the general support about this, because when the Red Tail announcement was made,
everybody was like,
hell no.
217.
And so I was just very much, I'm like, all right, what do you guys want? Like what, like the fans, the future fans, the people who want this team, it's like, well, what the hell do you want? And at that point, it didn't seem like the Zedell Yards thing was even on people's mind when it was being talked about, this whole Red Tail thing. So the fact that this has now come back into the fold, again, outside of those other locations, this is the best location, most realistic option that we now have. And quite frankly, I think it is the best spot to have a stadium. Like the T2,
it's not very picturesque out there.
No, and just getting people up there, it's a little bit too far north for my liking. Not bad for us now in this studio.
Sure.
But T2, the Lloyd Center, again, I just don't think that was ever a viable option to begin with. Having it in a suburb, no. You know, I understand why that makes sense for some teams, but for an expansion team, having a stadium in the actual city is imperative, I feel. So again, out of like the viable options, and you didn't have too many, it seemed like, and this coming back into the fold, them working on this and making this happen, awesome spot. I don't know if you've been to the One Moto show that they have, I think in like May, June, but there's one of those big ass warehouses down there in Zedell Yards where they have a bunch of motorcycles and everything. Like that warehouse in itself is huge.
Yeah, and the one with the Zedell, on it. Yeah,
and so it's like seeing that like up close, you're almost like, oh man, this is like, there's room to work with down there.
They used to build ships in that warehouse.
Yeah.
It's I'm a little biased because I used to live in the apartment right next to the Ross Island Bridge, like the cheapest one down there. But they had a studio apartment and we took it, and glad we did, because that spot in Portland, I really felt like we had access to everything with public transportation. I asked my wife to marry me on the Tillicum Bridge. Like, so, you know, there's spots for memories for people to make. That there's a beautiful park down there now. They've been working on the area. I think you'd have to, it would be some weird infrastructure improvements, like maybe like build another bridge across to the other side. Like there's definitely improvement of access needed to that area. But you're right about the space. There's many parking garages that could be built. OHSU has been building on that area down there forever. And just looking at the skyline of right there, a baseball stadium, and then about a mile and a half, 2 miles up in town, the Moda Center. Like, is that not just perfect? Is that not what Portland is?
I think you're seeing a lot of things these days from some established teams. Like the Braves' new stadium is kind of out in the burbs. It's in a little more residential area, and that's done really, really well. The Royals want to do the same. They kind of want to copy what the Braves did and kind of go out into the burbs and kind of find a good spot. However, I think in this town, and I will take a lead from Providence Park, that if you are going to create a new baseball team, a new high-end sports franchise, and you want people to go, I think it's got to be in the city.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be in the city.
Yep.
And you got to find a way to make it in the city. The Red Tail space, we talked about it, 6 months ago? When you look at the development and what they want to do, that sounds amazing. But, bro, no traffic, that's a 45-minute drive from my house. To where no traffic to the south waterfront from my house is 17 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to build, if you want to create something like the Timbers have at Providence Park, where games sell out, the fans are diehard, I think you got to put it in the city. And I think this is the best outcome. Now, there's all the, will Major League Baseball choose Portland, blah, blah. I know there's all that. I don't need to get into that. We already know how we feel about that. Again, go listen to Isaac and Souk, primetime at 4 o'clock. they address all that. I don't need to get into that. I just mean as a fan, I think it's got to be in the city.
Yeah. Again, as an expansion team, that's what they're going for at this point. Like, this is, you know, and having Portland, like, something to get the city of Portland excited about, like, and not so much like, hey, Portland, you're getting a baseball team in Hillsboro.
It's on like, 217, where traffic sucks every day.
For the love of God.
Like, we get a WNBA, we're going to get a WNBA team. And that's great because they're going to play at the Moda Center. And that's right downtown. That's right in the heart of the city.
Yeah, they don't have to play at the Child
Center. They don't have
to
worry about it. Yeah, they're not playing at the Child Center, which is out in North Portland and St. John's, which I used to live out there, and I love the Child Center.
Great.
I'm going to go watch Wazoo WCC basketball games out there this season, and St. John's is a wonderful little neighborhood. But if it's a major pro sport, like just hit me right in the city. Just punch me right there.
Now, what I'm curious about is what they are able to do on the east side across from the Telecom.
Agreed.
If they're able to create some more parking areas for there, you know, near OMSI, next to OMSI, if there's some buildings that they can purchase that can, you know, essentially give them more land to work with for parking there.
What about
there.
Like an underground tunnel?
And Isaac asked
underwater
that.
Underwater tunnel.
Isaac asked that to Cheek. Isaac asked that to Cheek today. And he was kind of like, yeah, we would definitely look into that. So that because the Tillicum Crossing is a special place, it's just mass transportation and walking.
Yep.
There's no cars on it. So you could do that, but he was like, there could be a ferry, some kind of boat that just takes things across the river to drop people off
I just got so horned up over a ferry.
Yeah, dude, six to noon, let's go.
Oh, my God.
A party ferry, yeah, that, like, lets you take what you have on with you in there.
What you guys are describing is the most Portland thing, I think, that you could do, and having the city, like, building a ballpark out in some field somewhere as compared to on the water. I don't know about y'all, but, like, whenever this started, what, 10, 12 plus years ago, Portland Diamond Project opened this idea up. I thought stadium on the water. That was kind of, it was just like what your mind goes to, right?
Makes sense. PNC, yeah. Oracle,
exactly.
The whole shebang. You want to be down there.
God, I was already horned up. And then you said the ferry, and I was come on.
Straight six to noon.
Dude.
It's like a party bus on steroids.
This is, let's make this happen ASAP.
But as we always say, we'll see it when we believe it. I mean, right, 100%. Reverse that. You know what I mean? So that's the update on that. You know, we are the baseball show, so I figured we'd talk to you about that. But, you know, those guys that don't cover baseball like we do, boy, they just took all the wind out of our sails today. So I'll let you go listen to them talk about it. They're professionals.
We're just
a bunch of idiots.
What do those guys know?
When we come back, we got a lot more baseball to get into as playoffs start winding down. When we come back, 50 is the new 40. But first, Schultzy with sports. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll dive into what we'll have fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour that we always do.
Quick tangent. That Mr. McMahon Netflix show that's about to come out.
The fact that his statements are coming out and saying I am misrepresented tells me that is a must watch.
100%.
It's like when Diddy comes out and is like, look, I think people got things wrong. I'm like, there's a lot of video. Buckle up.
I don't know if you saw, but there was like, oh, yeah.
People wondered who I really am.
Apparently, you know, there's
the trailer me, I'm a bad guy. But no one really knows me.
That's the clip. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, what the hell is going on right now? Apparently there was like a storyline that he wanted to try and do with Stephanie where like he was the father of her child, like that she was pregnant with.
That it was like to create a McMahon Triple H riff.
Yeah. And like, and apparently she shot that down. But they said
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, she's like, I think it was like one of the only like two times maybe I said no, and so they're denying like, oh no, that wasn't an actual like storyline that came up. There's literally a clip that WWE came out with from like something they filmed 20, 25 years ago of Stephanie talking about it.
Yeah,
where she even said like, oh yeah, he wanted to do this and no. So like,
sign me up
right away. I'm like, all right,
let's absolutely go.
You're already trying to do damage control on the stuff he's tried to pull off.
There's a lot of people in this world that you know are POSs. All right, there was the Michael Jackson documentary about Neverland Ranch and stuff like that. I was like, I don't need to watch that. I'm pretty sure I know everything that's going on. That's going to be a little difficult. And I think a lot of that has to do with pedo and kids and stuff like that, which is just really gross. But the Vince McMahon thing, oh, I'm ready to watch that.
Yeah.
I am absolutely ready to watch that.
The guy's a complete psycho. Like, I can't, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So coming up in the second hour, we'll look at some playoff looks, predictions. The American League wild card is now must watch television as the Astros have beaten the Mariners 4-3, yep, which clinches the division for the Astros. So the Mariners are now looking at the wild card. I mean, let's be real here. The Orioles are going to have that top wild card spot, but there are four teams vying for two spots.
But the Mariners 2.5 down now with this loss.
With this loss, but, you know, the Astros got the division, so who knows what tomorrow looks like.
Well, and I will say, there was a team that did clinch tonight as well. My Orioles.
Oh, the wild card.
I had to go gold dust on you.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah,
3-7 in their last 10, and Joe's bragging.
4-6. Okay.
Okay, sorry. Only because we're another day.
They're getting healthier, okay?
So second hour's got a lot to get to. We'll take a look at playoff predictions and see who makes it. Plus, David Bell gets fired for the Reds. And what's going on there? Is that a sneaky, awesome job to take for somebody? But 50 is the new 40, and that's where we are, my friends. And I know there's not much to get to. There's not much to really say. We're just going to kind of sit here and praise. But I have kind of stopped the hypotheticals and the guessing over the last weeks because I didn't want to sit here and say, can he do it? Let's talk for 20 minutes about can he do it? No, I want to see it before I want to talk to Shohei Ohtani becomes the first member of the 50-50 club. And when you look at this, I think there's a lot more to it than just stat-driven. I think we are probably looking at the greatest player to ever play baseball.
Not only does he do it, he does it in the most dominant, amazing, single-game fashion. Like,
for a quiet guy, he loves drama.
Dude,
World Baseball Classic, 50-50, those are high-drama situations.
I'm trying to remember a time where someone broke a record so emphatically. Like, like yeah, he broke it going 5-for-5. Oh, and then he went 6-for-6 hitting a third home run. Like, oh, just to make sure, you know, like, dude, it's not like he went 1-for-4, 1-for-5, 2K.
I didn't end the day at 50-50.
My
I ended
God.
The day at 51-52.
Yeah, 6-for-6, 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, and 10 RBIs. I can't do that in the show.
I can't do that in video games.
God's sakes.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was alluding to with this Shohei thing. And I'm going to kind of like just move my microphone and push my keyboard away. And if you're on the YouTube feed, you'll see it, because this isn't really like a hot sports take or anything. It's just like, this guy is doing things we've never seen before.
And he's going to pitch in October.
And he might pitch in October. And honestly, looking at that Dodgers bullpen and starters, they're going to need him.
Yeah.
The Padres control their own destiny. Let's put it that way. And they're not even in first. I think what's really rad about Shohei is he is so unassuming. Like, when you look at him and you watch his mannerisms and how he goes about playing the game and what he does, Judge is kind of the same way. They're just two dudes that are just like, yeah,
just
man.
Just two dudes balling.
I just play baseball. You know, Mahomes has this little bit of factor. Like, Tom got to the point where Tom became an absolute superstar. And he kind of acted that way. You would see him, the hair would change. All of a sudden he had hair and he's looking good. He's dropped weight. He's become a vegan. Probably had a little bit of snip, snip, snip. So his face looks pretty. He embraced the superstar. And I think Mahomes is a little bit of just like, hey, man, I'm just trying to play football. And what I love so much about Shohei, it's like, yeah, I'm 50-50, but I don't really care. I'm trying to do more than that.
Almost, if we want to go to another sport, Nikola Jokic-like.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Jokic. Like, look, man, I just play basketball. and I just want to win titles. And when I'm done, I want to go home. And I feel like Shohei's the same way. Judge shows a lot of that. I think Mookie Betts shows some of that.
I just want to go home and gamble. Wait, I didn't.
wait.
I didn't say that.
And so I think that's what's the most impressive is that I think it's just a guy who plays baseball who's locked in and just keeps going. It's impressive. It's funny because I think we're so entranced in the moment that we forget that we're going to look back at stuff. As I look at the 2024 Major League Baseball season, at the end of the day, they say, what's the number one storyline for you? My answer is, I have no idea who's going to win the World Series. In 20 years, it's like, you remember 2024? It's like, yeah, Shohei went 50-50.
Right.
And it's because of how nonchalant he is.
Yeah, I mean, there is something about guys that are able to do things like this, and it just almost seems like, not a big deal, you know? This is just what I do.
It's just what I do.
Yeah. I mean, I just still can't get over the fact that he had the day he had to set the record. It wasn't just like, oh, here's the one highlight of this game. It's like,
has anyone single-handedly put the greatest stat line of a game you've ever seen in your life?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, when have we ever seen a stat line like this
before?
And that
stat line of the game is actually more impressive than the fact that he is now a part of the only 50-50 club.
You know, I don't know if
it's more about the game than the season.
That's what I'm shocked about. Like, oh my Lord, I'm going to have to go into StatMuse or like look up Twitter, whatever, to see like, if there's ever on record anybody having this stat line.
I went to a concert with my wife on Sunday, and before the show started, we were kind of sitting there, and I was like scrolling, you know, doom scrolling before the show started, and I was looking at some baseball stuff, and the wife, you know, she's absolutely wonderful. She's like, okay, go. What do you got? Like, what do you need to talk about? And I said, it's just kind of wild. This guy just got hurt. And I could sit here and make an argument why he should be the National League MVP. And my wife looks at me and is like, okay, well, then go. Like, what is it? And it's like, well, I think he's more valuable to his team. He plays a more valuable position. He actually plays in defense. That's different than Shohei. 50-50 is cool. But, like, this team should not make the playoffs and are probably going to make the playoffs. And you wear his T-shirt jersey from his previous team to bed all the time. And she was like, Frankie? And I was like, yeah, Francisco Lindor should probably win the National League MVP.
You make me wear that shirt.
I know. And then I stopped and kind of thought to myself, and it's like, wait a sec. Freddie Freeman's been brutal for 2 months. Since his kid's situation, he just hasn't looked right. Mookie Betts was out for 3 months. The bottom half of that lineup is absolutely terrible. The starting pitching has not been good. Tyler Glasnow's done. The bullpen is okay on the back half, but the middle half I'm concerned about. Shohei's 50-50 is actually why the Dodgers are where they are. And that, to me, is a true MVP.
Well, and this goes back to what I was saying about why the Dodgers are my favorite to win it. It's not so much Shohei, but it's like they have so much power at the top of that lineup. I mean, we literally saw it the other night, too. Shohei ties it, and then Mookie wins it.
Yep, that was last night, I think.
Yeah, so it's like that team has such a mojo and has such a feeling like as long as we have him, we can do anything. Like it's amazing to watch. Also, I do have 2002 Sean Green, 6-for-6 with 4 home runs and a double, 19 total bases, 7 RBI and 6 runs. That's one of the other like all-time, you know, games I'm seeing. Now, granted, it wasn't to do like 50-50 or 40-40 even at that, but still.
My old friend Tony is a diehard Dodger fan. I haven't seen him in a little bit, but I remember when Sean Green did that, and I said, dude, I swear to God, if Sean Green does something like that again, I will buy a jersey of Sean Green.
Scooter Gannett?
Because he had one.
Do you remember the Scooter Gannett game?
Oh, Scooter Gannett, when he was on the Reds, right?
Yes. Correct, yeah. 5-for-5, 4 home runs, 10 RBIs in 2017. That was roughly 4.5% of the career home runs he would hit. Ouch.
Ouch. Have one, Scooter. You're not Shohei Ohtani. What's that line? Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run.
Yeah.
About Joe Carter in the 93 series.
Touch them all, Scooter. You'll never play this good
ever
again.
Never do this ever again. In fact, pack your bags.
Poor guy.
So that's it. I mean, I don't know what to say. There's not much to say. that's why I kind of didn't want to speculate. I didn't want to create negative drama around Shohei. It was just like, when he does it, he does it. And he's done it. So kudos to probably the greatest baseball player we have ever seen in our life.
Now do it again.
Do it again, you bum.
Yeah. Unreal season. Unreal game to make it happen. And cap off this season with a postseason pitching appearance and a legitimate World Series ring.
I mean, if you do 50-50, win a World Series, and pull a mad bum at the same time, boy.
Like, best season of all time?
That's the best season of all time. And that includes Ruth and, like, 1918, you know what I mean? Like, that's what does it.
I had a ton of fun watching that year.
Oh, so good. Me and Swigard in the bleachers eating hot dogs.
That was good.
That was so good. All right, when we come back, I never thought a DFA this late in the season would make me so concerned about a team going in the playoffs. But we got to go there, Joe.
I was on a high, and then we're doing
sorry,
this.
Sorry, my friend. We got to go there. That's next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. Well, all right, Star Child. I own this record on vinyl, Mothership Connection by Parliament, and it's a really cool album cover. There's a spaceship on it. You know, it says Parliament at the top, and it says Mother Connection on the bottom, and there's a spaceship. And I got it at a used store. And apparently whoever owned this either bought it in Mexico or is Mexican. Because on the spaceship, it just says Mexico in all caps with an exclamation point at the end and an upside down exclamation point at the beginning, which is how you write in Spanish. It's just means a lot to me.
Well, you got me curious. What is the album called again?
Mothership Connection by Parliament. Well, all right. Star Child.
Ship Connection. Okay,
And if you listen to the record, it's been sampled all over Dr. Dre. It's Dr. Dre. Like, clearly Dre had this record and was like, I'm going to make a beat out of that. Let me ride. Like, that's on there. Like, it's so good. It is clearly one of the most famous sampled hip-hop things ever to come. And it's just great funk music because Parliament is king.
Two things is I'll have to go on whosampled.com to corroborate this. Great website to find out.
I know what you're talking about.
Love that website. Find out what songs sampled, what songs and whatnot. Also coincidental that you brought up an album art with a spaceship because actually now that I think about it, I don't think it's a spaceship. It's a blimp that's on the cover of Dookie.
It is a blimp. Yes, I thought you were going to say Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin 1 is a Zeppelin, not a blimp.
And it's not a blimp. It's just a... well, there's a blimp in the top left.
That's on Dookie.
Yes. There's a lot of stuff on the cover of Dookie. There's also a jet, but I'll be going to the Green Day concert tomorrow night.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun. I actually wish I was going because I want to see the Smashing Pumpkins. I like that band a
Dookie
lot.
Dookie and American Idiot. They'll be playing tomorrow night, I think, in full.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'm more of a Dookie fan.
More of a Dookie guy. I actually like Nimrod a lot, too.
Can we just filibuster and so we don't have to talk about what we're supposed to talk about here?
Let's make it real quick, Joe.
Congress! I am going to stand here and yell about things for 20 minutes until my time is up so we don't have to talk about anything else.
We'll be quick about this, Joe. You're going to make the playoffs, okay?
Well, we did make the playoffs.
Get
it right, damn it.
I when it came across the other day that Craig Kimbrell, who has struggled, was DFA'd by the Orioles, it does leave me a bit concerned. Their last 10 games have not been great. Their last 15, 20 games have not been great. The Yankees took a stranglehold. Now, they were lucky that they were far enough along in the wild card race that they don't have much to worry about. They'll get into the playoffs. But I am concerned for a team whose starting pitching has not been great this season. That bullpen was something to help bail them out. Craig Kimbrell is the fifth all-time in saves.
You see my face right now?
I do see your face right now. It's a little...
disgusted. It's like I smelled a fart. That's what Craig Kimbrell has been in the latter half of this year.
Yeah, so I understand that, but it scares me if I'm a Baltimore fan.
The last 3 to 4 weeks have scared me immensely as a Baltimore Orioles fan. They've been banged up, but definitely that isn't the case for their bullpen. Their bullpen has been healthy, and doesn't matter. It sucks. And, You know, Kimbrel, it was just at this point, it was like, you know, great start to the season, but boy, you fell off and you are doing absolutely nothing for us. Yeah, I mean, you got to do something before the playoffs, and you can't keep running them out there, plain and simple. And it's unfortunate because you didn't have Felix Bautista this year, and God, did the Orioles Twitter page tease me so much today, because they tweeted out a video, and the caption was, "The King is back." And I was like, is Felix Bautista? I was like, is he?
Bautista's back?
I was like, is he healthy? What the hell? And it was Ryan Mountcastle.
I feel like this is a lot of like,
oh my God, it's Felix Bautista. He's back.
They killed him. He's dead.
He wasn't supposed to be back this early. He's here. But no, it was Ryan Mountcastle, which, you know, I'll take it. But it's definitely not a closer that can throw 103 miles per hour. So I don't know. We're going to run out. Yennier Cano, I don't know, Cano Perez. I mean, I don't know.
But I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about this bullpen. I like this Baltimore team, but there are issues in batting. You know, Jackson's not been good.
Well,
Rutschman struggled late of late. Santander is really the only thing keeping you going, as shown tonight against the Yankees.
I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
Well, this is making this segment at least more lighthearted.
But why? Someone tell me why, damn it!
Yeah, tell me why my Orioles suck now all of a sudden.
I can. You have no starting pitching.
Not only that, but no one wants to hit anymore, as you mentioned, besides Anthony Santander. We were banged up recently.
Sure.
We, as in me, I am on the team. I am on the bench. I'm with them riding it out every day. But they're getting healthier, so hopefully that it's one of those offensive swings or swinges, I should say, once they get to the playoffs, that they're able to just start hitting the bat, putting up runs, and they can either give themselves enough separation in playoff games where they do not have to worry about going to a closer and having to close out one-run, two-run games. That's what I have to hope for at this point.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch. They're going to make the playoffs, so it's not really worth discussing now. We'll see what happens, see who they play, what the matchup situation is going to be. And speaking of that, that's where we're going to go next. Loaded second hour. There's a wild, wild race going on in the American League. Divisions are wrapped up officially, but the wild card is four teams for two spots. So there's a lot to get to that, plus Padres are playing the Dodgers right now. They control their own destiny. When we come back in a week, we will have playoffs set. We'll actually have game one of the American League wild card on Sister Station 910. Hopefully while this game is going on, depends on who's going to play. So when we come back in the second hour, let's take a dive into what looks like, what this playoff situation looks like. Who's getting in, who's not. We're going a lot of places. Plus, we'll talk about the future of the Reds. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.